The question came up the other day, whether arahants can make mistakes. And the answer is yes. Sometimes they get the wrong information, and they can't check it, so they act on the information they've got. That has to do with information about the world outside. As for the workings of their minds, how their minds process the world, they don't make mistakes there, because they've seen the processes clearly. We're filtering things all the time. That's the kind of truth the Buddha would talk about. He wouldn't talk about the truth about the world outside or the truth about the self. So if you try to discuss the origin of the world and other aspects of the world, how big the world is, how long it's been in existence, you go crazy. But if you try to understand why you suffer from the world, you actually gain awakening. So you're looking at the processes, you're looking at the way the mind filters things and shapes things. This is why when we meditate, we close our eyes. We're not looking at the world outside, we're looking at our minds, our hearts and minds. Pali word citta covers both heart and mind. As we practice virtue, to get to know our intentions. We practice generosity to know our intentions. Then we sit down to meditate. We've got the right focus. We're trying to focus on the breath. Ardent, alert, and mindful, putting aside greed and distress with reference to the world. That's the formula. We're trying to get the mind in a state of concentration, and as it settles in, you begin to see what's going on in the activity of concentration. There's directed thought and evaluation. The Buddha calls that verbal fabrication. You're working with the breath. That's bodily fabrication. You have a perception of how the breath comes in and out of the body, and you're creating feelings of pleasure as best you can. You're doing this by maintaining that intention to stay with the breath, and you're paying attention to the things that might get in the way, trying to deal with them. All these factors, bodily, verbal, mental fabrication, attention, intention, these are described in dependent co-arising, and they come prior to your sensory experience. You're cleaning your filters. You're getting to know exactly how you filter things, because if you filter things in ignorance, then no matter what comes in through the senses, you're going to suffer. If you do these things with knowledge, that becomes a path. And these are the kinds of things you can know directly. Remember when the Buddha said you want to guard the truth? What that means is not necessarily going out and tracking down all the data you can get. It means being very clear about where you get your ideas, where you get your beliefs, and being very clear about how you process them. Because the processing has a lot to do with where you get them. You may get the information from other people, from reading, from listening, from looking. But then it has to go through the process, it has to go through the filter. And right here is where a lot of us are blind. We should know what we're doing. As the philosopher says, we know best what we do. We should know best what we do, but often we are ignorant because our focus is someplace else, on the world outside. Or on things that we think lie deeper inside. We don't look at what's actually happening right here, right now, on the surface of the present. That's what we're doing, the surface where the mind and the body meet here at the breath, where you're aware of the breath, and then seeing what mental activities go around creating a state of concentration. As you get more sensitive to them, you begin to realize that these are the activities by which you filter everything. Somebody says something to you. You decide either to pay attention or not to pay attention. Then there's a question of what are your intentions with regard to your conversation with that person? What do you intend to do with that information? Sometimes you come to a conversation, someone's actually telling you the truth, but your intentions are someplace else. So what they say barely registers. Now, if you're really alert, you notice that. But most of us are not very alert at all. We don't observe our minds very well. So we end up all confused. And then there are the ways we talk to ourselves. Again, what are your intentions? Sometimes your intention is to put yourself in a bad mood. When you get tired of the practice, you tell yourself that it's not worth it, too much effort. You're afraid of what it's going to make you as a person, dry and dull. I've never seen any dry or dull Arahants, though. But the mind can paint these pictures. And you're complicit. And part of you knows, and part of you doesn't. This is why guarding the truth also has to go together with what the Buddha says, neglecting discernment or being heedless of discernment. Part of your mind can see what's actually going on, but it chooses to ignore. Again, because of its intentions, what it wants. So when you can see these things, then you can deal more clearly with them. When you step back from them, you can deal better. And when you're coming from a state of concentration where there is a sense of well-being, you're not so hungry to go after whatever the mind tells you, and where you're still and clear, so you can see clearly exactly what the mind is doing, then you're in a position to see how you're filtering things, where the filter is bad, what you have to do to clean it. So that's where your focus should be, on how you process things. The information coming in from the world will be bad or good, true or false. What's important, though, is how you process it. Because you either can cause yourself a lot of suffering, and from there it spreads out to other people. Or you can look at it in a way that doesn't cause suffering. The skill lies right here. So that when someone asks you information about something, and you can tell them clearly, your information is based on what you heard, or what you saw, or what you believe, based on logic or analogy, realizing that a lot of those times, those things are not necessarily a guarantee of the truth. But at least you're letting people know where this stuff comes from. And you yourself know where it comes from. That way you can be less attached to a lot of your opinions. So many of our opinions were constructed in ignorance. And we fall back on them as if they were the genuine truth because they've been there so long. But as John Suwad used to say, when you go into a cave that's dark, you take a light into the cave, even though the darkness has been there for aeons. The darkness can't say, we have no right to push us out because we've been here first. When you bring light into the cave, then the darkness goes away. And then whatever the world feeds you, you know how to fix it. Because you see clearly what you're doing. And you know where the pitfalls can be. You know where your strengths are. And it's in that way that you guard the truth. Now it's likely that you will make mistakes based on getting wrong information. But do your best in noticing how you process the stuff, because that's what you learn as you meditate. We're not here to look into the nature of things in and of themselves. We're to look at how the mind functions and how it can be made to function well. That's something you can learn by watching your breath. When people say they've seen the truth of no self in their meditation, you wonder what they saw. Either something that they identified with strongly stopped, or else they blanked out. In either case, is that proof that there is no self? Simply proof that whatever you identified with couldn't be you because you saw it pass away. Or you just blanked out, which doesn't prove anything at all. That's trying to see into the nature of things in and of themselves. But you see the nature of how things function. That's something you can learn by doing and then looking at the results, and then doing something else, looking at the results, comparing them. And that's something you can do as you watch the breath. So be very clear about what kind of knowledge you're developing here. We're not here to see the nature of the cosmos. Even people with telescopes can look very, very far. Keep seeing, learning this more and more that the early telescopes couldn't see. There's no end to it. But there is an end to the suffering that you cause yourself by the way you process things, through the processes of fabrication or intention, attention, which come under the name and name and form. These factors that come before you even gain any sense impressions through the six senses. Those are things you can learn. Those are things you can master. And when you know them, you've got the most direct source of knowledge about the Dharma of all. My first years as a meditator, during my Dharma Siddha, I had very few books. A book of Ajahn Lee's Dharma Talks, Keeping the Breath in Mind, a few others. Ajahn Mahabhua's book of Dharma Talks to the Woman Who Had Cancer. That was it. That was all my reading material, that plus a dictionary. And so I was thrown back constantly to watching my breath, watching my mind, watching the breath. And it came a very strong sense that I was dealing directly with things, knowing things directly, clearly, because they were right here. Whatever I was doing right here. Then the time came to start studying the suttas. And you begin to realize that as you translate, as you read, there's a fair amount of conjecture. So even things that you learn from the suttas are based on hearsay, putting things together in the way that makes sense. The real test, though, is seeing what impact these ideas have on your mind, on understanding what you're doing right here, right now. That's the test. That's where genuine knowledge can be found. The information in the text is like a series of arrows pointing you here. What you're going to see will depend on your own powers of observation and your own ability to think outside the box when problems come up. Those two qualities that Ajahn Fung stressed so much. Being observant, using your powers of ingenuity. That's how you find truths that really are reliable. Truths that when you know them, you make no mistake regarding them. And those are the truths that matter.